Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, Verse 7. Dadrikshavo yasya padam sumangalam vimukta sangha munaya susadvaha Taryantya loka ratam anvranam yami Bhutatma bhuta suhrada samegati. Dadrikshava, those who desire to see yasya of him, padam, lotus feet, sumangalam, all auspicious, mukta sangha, persons who are completely disaffected, munaya, susadava, highly elevated, charanti, practice, Aloka Vratam, vows of brahmachari, vanaprastha, or sannyas, avranam, without any fault, vane, in the forest, bhutatma, bhuta, those who are equal to all living entities, suhrda, those who are friendly to everybody, so, the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. May my gatihi, destination. Translation of renunciates and great sages who see all living entities equally, who are friendly to everyone, and who flawlessly practice in the forest the vows of brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyas, desire to see the all-auspicious lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that same Supreme Personality of Godhead be my destination. Purport, this verse describes the qualification for devotees or persons highly elevated in spiritual consciousness. Devotees are always equal to everyone, seeing no distinction between lower and higher classes. Pandita Samadarshanaha. They look upon everyone as spirit soul who is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Thus, they are competent to search for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Understanding the Supreme Personality of God is the friend of everyone, they act as friends of everyone on behalf of the Supreme Lord, making no distinction between one nation and another or one community and another. They preach Krishna consciousness, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, everywhere. Thus they are competent to see the lotus feet of the Lord. Such creatures in Krishna consciousness are called Paramahamsas, as indicated by the word Vimukta Sangha. They have nothing to do with material conditions. One must take shelter of such devotees in order to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation, renunciates and great sages who see all living beings equally, who are friendly to everyone, and who flawlessly practice in the forest the vows of brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyas, desire to see the all-auspicious lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that same Supreme Personality of Godhead be my the destination. So, the previous verses were descriptions of the Supreme Lord and his special position by which it is proper that we worship him or surrender to him. So a prayer is usually, of course, glorify the Supreme Lord, and they also offer respects to the Supreme Lord, etc. So those words like namo, etc., namo namaha, are there, or prapadye, sharanam, etc., express this type of feeling. So the similarly we have here with same gati, he is my destination. So in other words, this is another type of an expression of surrender again. May this person be my goal or my object of surrender, etc. And again, we have a bunch of words, but this is actually not a description of the Supreme Lord, but devotees of the Lord. So the previous verses were about the Lord, and these verses describe the people who worship the Lord. So that person who is worshiped by these various persons, may he be my destination. So in other words, Gajendra is identifying himself with others who are qualified for worship. And what do they worship? His very auspicious feet, Padam Sumangalam. They actually have a desire here, the Drikshavo. They desire to see the lotus feet of the Lord. In the Brahma Samhita, we have a verse there that says the yogis cannot even see a little bit of light which reflects off one of the toenails of the Supreme Lord. And they may strive for thousands and thousands of years, and they can't even see the light from the toenail of the Lord. So, if one can get the actual a vision of the lotus feet of the Lord, that is a much better position, but it's not available to yogis or gyanis. So one desires to see the lotus feet, one has to be superior. One has to be a devotee of the Lord. But we see here that these particular words, some of them do not actually describe the sarup of devotion, where they will describe secondary qualities. So we should not confuse the secondary qualities with the primary qualities. If you look in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, what do we find? It's a description of Bhakti Yoga. That's the title of the chapter. And it's all about devotion to the Lord. And then the second half of the chapter is a description of the devotees. Those who are like this and this, this, they are my devotees and they are dear to me. But if you look at many of those qualities again, they are secondary qualities. It's not unique qualities of the devotee. We'll find those qualities in a jnani even, some of those qualities. Yeah. So, nevertheless, we should not think that the quality of the devotee is limited to those particular qualities and that he must have those qualities, but other qualities are not so necessary. We have to first figure out what is the main quality of the devotee, and that is the sroop, basic sarupa of the devotee. What defines the devotee that makes him different from the jnani or the yogi or the karmi or the materialist? And sometimes it is not these particular qualities which are described. So we should not confuse and say, okay, if I'm like this, then I'm a devotee. No. So of course here, the main qualification is desire to see the lotus feet of the Lord. One, they accept the Supreme Lord. They accept the person of the Lord, that he's a person with feet and hands and face and whatever. They also accept the position of surrender to the Lord. That is the main qualification of the devotee, aspiration to serve the Supreme Lord. And then we have these other qualities, vimukta sangha, which literally means liberated from material association. But the jnanis are also liberated from material association. If they get liberation, so are the yogis. But this is not a particular quality in itself, but it accompanies the devotee. It's In other words, liberation is automatically achieved by the devotee. If he attains prema and he goes to the spiritual world, automatically has no more karma, no more ignorance, no more material bondage, no more birth and death, etc. So he's Vimukta Sangha also, but that's not his primary quality. And it is also not the aspiration of the devotee. If we aspire to Vimukta Sangha in our devotion, then we have Gyan Misra Bhakti. So it is a secondary quality which accompanies the main quality of bhakti. These persons are called munis. Generally, we don't describe the devotee as a muni because sometimes the muni has a, the word has a negative connotation as far as bhakti is concerned. Speculators, things like that. People who want to be different from others and they philosophically make their own ideas and then they become head of a certain philosophical vada.
A group.
Like a Mayavadi or a Sankhya philosopher or a Vaisheshika philosopher, etc. So they sometimes call them munis. They want their own philosophy and they try to defeat everybody else, establish their own point of view. So that obviously is not favorable for bhakti. In fact, in the 20 angas of bhakti, at the very beginning of the 64 angas, in the second 10, which are the negative ones, don't do this, don't do that. So one is, don't read many scriptures. Which means, of course, don't read all these other scriptures. And the idea of scriptures itself is not to defeat other people. That is not the goal of our learning or whatever. It is to increase our devotion to the Lord. So therefore, that type of muni who wants to establish his own position, etc., that is not proper for the devotee. On the other hand, the word muni has another meaning, and often associated with mauna, one who is silent. But again, that usually refers to the non-devotee. It is the yogis in the forest who are silent. We have the mauna vrata of the yogis and the gyanis. They don't speak for, you know, some months or years or whatever. Keep their mouths shut. In an attempt to control the senses. On the other hand, the devotees do kirtan. They open their mouth. Speak about Krishna all the time. So they're quite opposite. Yet, also we use this word muni to refer to the devotee because he doesn't speak about material things. In that sense, he's muni. So therefore, the word muni can also refer to the devotee who is silent on material topics. So sometimes this description, I think in the, probably the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita describes that a person who is fixed in knowledge, he is a mona, is a muni or whatever, 13th or 14th chapter like that. And, but for the devotee, for the gyani, fine. For the devotee, no, he is one who speaks only about Krishna. So, this of course is in line with the very definition of sadhana bhakti, which is to engage the senses favorably for the Lord. So, speaking is not wrong. Susadvaha. So, of course, the word sadhu has got a very broad definition. Sometimes it simply means devotee, sadhu sangha, a devotional association. In the broader sense, it means someone who has got good conduct. In general, may not be a devotee. He's got good conduct. He may be following Dharma, so he is sadhu in that sense. Of course, in India, sadhu usually refers to some renounced person wandering around on the road or whatever like that. Some sort of spiritual person in general. And then su means very much so. So he's very much of good conduct. Why? Because for the devotee develops all good qualities. Krishna is full of what? Sadgunya. He is full of all wonderful qualities. So a devotee also develops wonderful qualities like those. these are to be distinguished from the qualities which are cultivated within the Varnashram system, which are ultimately lead to sattvic qualities, which are material. So if our aspiration is to cultivate morality and ethics according to Varnashram Dharma, we're contaminated. It is preferable contamination to cultivating Rajagun or Tamagun qualities, definitely. And the whole idea of Varnashram is to rise above the Tamagun and Rajagun qualities and get to sattva qualities. Then you become sadhu. But if a devotee does this, it's also not favorable for his bhakti. Okay? For this reason, Prabhupada often criticizes people who do charitable works and open schools and hospitals, etc. They are being sadhu according to sattva gun. So on the material level, it looks very nice, but as far as spiritual life, it creates bondage because it binds us to sattva gun. So, on the other hand, we have the devotional qualities of the Supreme Lord and of the devotees. Those are natural byproducts of developing one's devotion. So those are natural qualities for the devotee. So the devotee has to distinguish between these qualities, the sattvic qualities and the other qualities. So anyway, these are accompanying factors, just like liberation is an accompanying factor. So manifestation of good qualities is an accompanying factor. We have subhada, that's the second quality of bhakti, unique quality of bhakti. Does the jnani or yogi develop good qualities? Technically, they don't want qualities because they want to go into nirguna Brahman. So they have to give up all qualities eventually. So they're trying to become nirguna. So as far as material world is concerned, of course, they may show some good conduct, etc., because they don't want to be tinged with sin. But technically, they have to give up qualities. So they also have to give up sattva gun and charity work, etc. The devotee does not aspire one way or the other. He performs bhakti, and the natural result is he develops all wonderful spiritual qualities. That is the definition of subhada. The main quality of which is compassion. But that compassion is not the same as material compassion in the mode of goodness. It is related to Supreme Lord. So naturally we see that a person like Prahlad, what is his compassion? He thought of all the suffering living entities and how to make them into devotees. That was his compassion. No, it's spiritual compassion. Okay, so these are the devotees, and they are bhutatma bhuta. They see all living entities as equal. This also is a quality we'll find in jnanis. Everything is equal. We see the stone and the gold and the chandala and the brahmana and the cow and the elephant and the dog as all equal. Samadarshana. So it's often expressed in relation to the jnani's vision of everything. Everything material is useless. Prakriti, etc. It's all equal in that sense. And on the other hand, they see Atma within the living entities. Atma is all equal in the sense of being Brahman. So we find this also in relation to devotees. The same type of vision is there. And we'll see it in the Upanishad also. He sees everything is equal, etc. So for the devotee, it's a slightly different vision. Yeah? Equal in the sense we do not see in terms of bodies, we see Atmas. And as Atmas, they are similar, not one, but similar. For the jnani, Atmas are simply Brahman. Ultimately one Brahman. For the devotee, the Atmas are similar, but separate entities. How does he see oneness? In the sense that all of these Atmas are related to the Supreme Atma, Supreme Lord. Necessarily, as we say, everything is Nitya Krishna Das, etc. So there's a oneness and says everybody is the servant of the Supreme Lord ultimately, because the Atmas are all dependent on the Supreme Lord. And all these coverings of bodies are Maya, actually. So the essential nature of the Jiva is that he is Atma. On a higher level, the oneness is expressed in the Uttamadhikari, in which he sees everybody and everything as a servant of the Supreme Lord, inundated with prema. And so we'll find a very similar type of expression in the definition of the Uttamadhikari. He sees all living entities as equal, but it is completely different from the Mayavad one vision. Everybody's engaged in prema to the Lord. So that is seen in an example of, for instance, the in Vrindavan, the descriptions there where the gopis see the trees as servants of Krishna. And they start talking to the trees, "Have you seen Krishna?" Or they talk about the flute and they say, "Well, the flute is better than us because he gets to associate with Krishna all the time." Or they see the fruits as offering their, or the trees as offering their fruits to Krishna, or their flowers to Krishna, etc. Or they see the trees as shedding their sap, like tears, whatever. So they see everything in relation to prema, not objects, and living entities and animals, etc. So everything becomes inundated with prema. So that's a very high vision. And that's to say, everybody is equal. Suhrada, friendly towards all living entities, friendly with everybody. This, of course, is natural to the devotee. On the level of jnana and yoga, of course, one should not express hatred or the opposite, attachment to anybody or anything. Being a friend in one sense is not so good for a jnani or yogi ultimately. It is good in the sense that everybody's a friend and that he doesn't show hatred to anybody. In that sense, it's probably okay. But for the devotee, the idea of friendship is no problem. In the sense that everything is related to the Supreme Lord, and every jiva is a servant of the Lord. So everybody is friendly with each other in the sense that we have some common elements, and we don't see in terms of different bodies, etc. So in that sense, they are friends. So this is a description of the, in other words, the people who are qualified to surrender to the Supreme Lord. So the qualities are all secondary qualities that rely upon the main quality, and that is eagerness to see and serve the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. If you take that away, then they are not so significant. They are the qualities that a jnani could also develop, or a person in sattva-gun doing nishkama karma yoga, he can also develop qualities like this. So, in themselves, not so significant. But if one is surrendering to the Supreme Lord, then all good qualities manifest along with that, and therefore he will have these qualities. So whatever is aspired for by others, the devotee automatically gets in the progress of devotional service. So the qualities of the devotees develop in sadhana bhakti. So the first two qualities, Kleshagni and Subhada, which are mentioned in the Nectar Devotion, they start to manifest in sadhana bhakti itself. So we don't have to wait to bhava or prema to develop good qualities or destroy karmas, etc. That process of removing the negative elements, the coverings over the jiva, and developing the jiva's nature of serving the Lord and all the qualities that accompany it, naturally develop through the process of sadhana itself. Of course, they continue and continue and continue, and they reach their perfection in prema. In that state, no fault at all. The first element, the main element, is perfect. That is, the aspiration to serve the Lord, it reaches its continuous level where it's no longer sadhana. and the other elements are not mixed with anything material, and there's no material faults involved. And that is, all karma, all the material desires, ahankara, everything's gone, and the good qualities manifest on their own to support the service of the Supreme Lord. That is the position in prema. The person in sadhana bhakti does not have to aspire for other processes to develop good qualities, to get rid of his karmas, etc. All he has to do is practice bhakti. And that will automatically lead to Lakshmi Subhadha. All the favorable elements for bhakti develop with concentration on the elements of main elements of bhakti. What are the main elements of bhakti? As I said, this desire here to see the lotus feet of the Lord. Of course, why do we want to see the lotus feet of the Lord? Because we want to be interested in their eyes or some reason. Obviously, we don't simply want to see somebody. In other words, if you want to see the prime minister, you're eager to see the prime minister. You just want to go and look at him. Okay, fine, saw him, go away. You want more than just seeing him. Then you would like to meet him and talk to him, and then develop a friendship with him. We say seeing the Lord. It doesn't just mean seeing. The aspiration is not just to see the Lord. If it is limited to that, then it's something like developing sarupya. I just want to have a form like the Lord. I just want to meet the Lord. That's it. I don't want to serve him. And then it is more like karma, Mr. Bhakti, or something like that. You can get a type of liberation where you don't serve the Lord, where you see him. Shantarasa, basically. The devotees, of course, this is expressed here, desire to see the Lord, is more than that. This is understood from the examples of the great devotees. The gopis pray in separation when Krishna goes out in the forest in the morning, and they lament. We want to see Krishna because he's gone to the forest and they can't go to the forest. So it's only they want to see him? No, it's more than seeing. Therefore, when we say they just desire to see the feet of the Lord, obviously implies more than just seeing. It implies other elements as well. Not only seeing, hearing, speaking, serving, etc. All of these are implied. So it's not limited to seeing. So the devotees, therefore, aspire to somehow engage their senses in glorifying and serving the Supreme Lord. That's basically what we have. So that is the essence or the sarup of bhakti, which is anukhanyam Krishna anusilanam. This is Krishna anusilanam. Cultivating a relationship with the Supreme Lord. Favorably. It can be done in different ways. It can be done with the senses, as we do in sadhana bhakti. After sadhana bhakti, we can continue to engage the senses. But gradually, another type of bhakti develops. So there's two divisions in bhakti. There's a chesta rupa bhakti, that is activities which need senses, and bhav rupa bhakti, which means emotional content. That refers to developing internally one's love for the Lord, a specific type of bhava. That manifests in, obviously, bhav bhakti, and then is completed in prema. The acts of that relationship itself, of bhava, are not sadhana, because the whole process of sadhana is lead to bhava, manifestation of that bhava, or emotional relationship with the Lord. And that continues and continues and continues as bhakti itself, it becomes sthayi bhava, which means a particular type of emotional relationship with the Lord, whether it's shanta, or Dasya Sakshivatsalya Madhurya. It becomes a Sthayi Bhava, that is the permanent relationship with the Lord. So that is one type of anusilanam. And then we have the engagement using the senses, such as eyes, ears, voice, etc. This is the Chashtarupa. So that continues into Bhava and Prema. And it is expressed by as Anubhavas. So how does Yasoda express her love for Krishna? She cooks for him. She dresses him, bathes him, ornaments him. These are Anubhavas of Vatsalya Rasa, taking care of Krishna. So she's using her body and her senses. That's a Chashta Rupa Bhakti. Meanwhile, the Bhav Rupa Bhakti goes on. That's her Vatsalya, Sthayi Bhava. Huh? Without that, of course, we don't have any bhakti at all. So the Sthayi Bhava is the main element of rasa. And the Anubhavas are accompanying elements. Anubhava means following. So first you have the Sthayi Bhava, then it's expressed in various activities, which generally will involve actions. So that becomes Chashta Rupa Bhakti. Another type of Chashta, of course, is Sattvika Bhavas, which are not conscious things. They just happen, like crying or fainting, etc. It's also a Chashta, but there's no consciousness at all involved in that. So that's another type of Chashta Rupa Bhakti. So anyway, we have these two elements of bhakti, the Chashta Rupa and the Bhav Rupa Bhakti. In the beginning stages, the Chashta Rupa is prominent, and that is the very definition of sadhana bhakti. To develop to the bhava stage, Bhav Rupa Bhakti, by Chashta, doing the activities. So in the sadhana stage, we use the material senses and material body. But because of the little amount of bhakti, which is not bhava yet, that the jiva has, those engagements of the senses do not give material results, they give spiritual results. In other words, the senses become spiritualized in the process. So we get a spiritual result. What is a spiritual result? The bhakti increases until sadhana reaches bhava, and then the bhava manifests. So, therefore, the beginning stage is a prominence of the Chashta Rupa Bhakti. And then a Bhava stage, the Bhava Rupa manifests. And the Chashta continues. But it's no longer sadhana. Because the whole purpose of Chashta Rupa Bhakti and sadhana bhakti is to achieve Bhava. Once we've got to Bhava, we've got the goal already. So it's no longer sadhana. No longer a practice. So the Chashta continues as Anubhava. It's not a practice. It's rather an expression of the Bhava. And it becomes spiritual sense. Spiritual body manifests in Bhava and Prema. So we're not doing our activity with the material body and spiritualized sense. We're doing with the spiritual body and the spiritual senses internally. Externally, we may continue with our body. Internally, we have our spiritual body operating. And then when we get to prema, we give up the material body and we only have the spiritual body and no material body at all. So those are the stages in engagement of our senses. In the material level, we engage our body. In bhav level, it's a combination of spiritual body and material body spiritualized. And in prema, finally, only spiritual body. Give up the material body completely. So we engage our senses, our spiritual senses in the Lord on that level, eternally in the spiritual world. Huh? Friends. Well-wisher. Yeah. Well-wisher is one who wants to do good for others. In other words, wishes well for others. So he wants to give benefit to other persons. Okay? Sometimes there's a distinction made between the Suhrit and the Mitra. Some slight distinction. I mean, the Mitra is like a friendly relationship, and the Suhrit is one who likes to benefit others. He may not have that intimate relationship or whatever, but he likes to benefit another person like that. Of course, the two things go together, but generally one who is friendly with another person on an equal level, he also wants to give benefit to him. So some overlapping sometimes. I think there's three terms, Suhrit, Mitra, and there's another term also, I think, and some little distinctions between them. No. The activities will be the Chesta Rupa, Anubhavas. Yeah. So in other words, bhakti, when we say anusilanam, if it's only the activities, then what is the Stai Bhava? It's not bhakti. It's not Krishna anusilanam. The Stai Bhava is there. Is it bhakti or not? Is it anusilanam? Krishna anusilanam? Yeah. But it's not action. Some internal feeling, yeah? A relationship. So it is also a cultivation. If we don't have that, we cannot cultivate any relationship with the Lord. In sadhana, it is not there. It only manifests in bhava. Yeah. Huh? So we have a prominence of Chesta Rupa and sadhana. Yeah. And the anusilanam consists of a little bit of bhakti that we have. It does not reach the level of bhava. So in other words, our relationship with the Lord, we don't call it bhava at that point. Hari and samvit shakti do not manifest at that point. Huh? Yeah. Oh, not necessarily, because we say that women, Vaishyas, Sudras, and then Mlatshas and Chandalas, and everybody can do bhakti. So then they have all bad qualities to begin with. Like, Ajmil? Chanted the holy. Of course, he wasn't a devotee, he chanted accidentally, and he got rid of all his bad qualities that way. But one can start from any position, like Mrigari the hunter. Certainly, he didn't have good qualities. Well, not Susadava. He was killing animals and watching them suffer, etc. He was not Vimukta Sangha. He didn't have any of these qualities. He didn't see anybody as equal. He wasn't friendly to anybody. But he became a devotee of the Lord. By doing that, of course, he gave up his bad qualities. That was his qualification. Narada, when he says, give up your bow, no more killing. What's that? Well, not necessarily. If we reach mukti, what happens? No qualities. Not good qualities or bad qualities. So these good qualities are normally coverings. They're sattva-gun coverings only. Spiritual good qualities only develop with bhakti. We can say maybe they're potential, but they're not really there in the sense that they don't manifest once you get the coverings of ignorance off the jiva. Only if you do bhakti, then they manifest. And if you cultivate paramatma, even then they manifest to a minimum. So it depends on the development of bhakti that one develops qualities, really, spiritual qualities. It will not manifest with jnana. In the material world, what manifests? Material qualities. Yeah.